How are you? Welcome in. It's WEEI Afternoons. Christian Arcan, Andy Hart, you at 617-779-7937. Nice to have you with us here today. And what a night last night on Causeway Street. The Boston Celtics raising banner 18 up into the rafters, and then it was bombs away after that. A stunning beatdown of the New York Knicks. All five starters in double figures, 63% from three-point range were the starters in that game last night. A game that was over really in the first quarter, and a team that is basically impossible to defend. I'm at the point now, and I know it's one game in, but this was something that I think's been building from last year to this year, and it's largely the same team. We very recently, Andy Hart, saw the best Red Sox team of all time in 2018, right?
Yep.
Do we agree that that's, even if it wasn't the best story, 2004 is a better story, 2018 was a better team.
Sure.
They would wire to wire, they breezed through the playoffs, breezed through the World Series, best Red Sox team of all time. The 86 Celtics are considered the greatest Celtics team of all time. You can make an argument maybe for one of those teams in the 60s towards the end of Russell when Havlicek was younger and they were winning, you know, with Sam Jones and young Satch Sanders and sort of those guys. I don't know who you consider to be the best Patriots team of all time. I'd say 04 probably it would be mine, and then there's the 72 Bruins. I think these Celtics have the potential to go down as the greatest Boston sports team of all time. Forget the greatest Celtics team. I think that's obviously in play too, but there's no real way to quantify this. It's sort of like a feel thing, you know? You know it when you see it, like porno. Like, you know, if you see it, you know what it is.
Isn't that a feel thing too?
It is. That's on the table here for this group. I'm not, and I know I'm maybe getting dramatic here, as I tend to after the first game of the season. Just play the tape back of me asking about the Patriots win over the Bengals and what a big moment that was for the franchise. That seems like a long time ago, but in this case, these expectations are set. They rose to the moment against, arguably, you heard Reggie Miller just talking about it, the toughest opponent that they're going to have in the Eastern Conference, and they pummeled them. I mean, it was not a close game at all. There was no chance for the Knicks to get back into that game. The Celtics were in control the entire time, and it was a fun night. It was a fun night at the Garden.
It was. Now, I enjoy the reactionary opener, Christian Arcan, the one who thinks the Bruins suck and the Celtics are going to be the greatest team in the history of sports.
Yes.
I enjoy that. And you won't get anybody. The good news is the Bruins reaction you have, it's one game. You're not going to get any one games, I don't think,
tonight. I am
tonight.
Not. No,
people
I'm not.
Will buy into the idea that this could be hell. I said it before the season started. I think they should have as a legitimate goal to set a wins record.
How are the Bruins looking lately, by the way? All you people yelling at me after that first game. How are they looking these days?
You're an angry little man.
Well, I'm a little hungover today, but that's neither here
so
nor
you
there.
You had fun up there.
I did. I had a good time. Yeah, we were way
out. How could you not?
It was high up. We were high up in the cheap
Whatever.
Seats.
Whatever.
I was
the environment.
I was in the rafters with the other banners is where I was sitting, basically. But yeah, it was a great
time.
The
energy, the environment. I mean, the let's do it again. I thought was delivered as well as Jason Tatum has delivered anything that he's ever delivered.
It's pretty good.
I've always found him a little awkward, slow, you know, like he kind of drawls. I don't even know how to describe it. But the delivery of that was perfect. That was Pat Riley-esque with the Lakers or whatever some of the famous ones about doing it again. He delivered that perfectly, and that should be the message for this team because the one problem with your little theory about them being the greatest ever, I think the Patriots team that was the greatest ever was 2007.
Right.
The problem is
they didn't win.
So you're not in any, they were going to be, any list that was ever made about NFL teams or sports teams.
Oh, definitely.
They were going to be at or
they
near
would have
the
been
top.
Ahead of 72 Dolphins and
absolutely.
All those other teams. Absolutely. They would
and
have,
now
yeah.
They're on none of those lists. Mm-hmm. Now you go like top tens. Oh, where's the 07 Patriots? Oh, they didn't win, and that's the reality of the situation. You can be the greatest team in the regular season through the Eastern Conference to the finals. If you don't win a ring, everything goes for naught. And I don't know if that's pressure or just, oh, pressure doesn't exist. That's right. There's no pressure if you're going to be dead soon. So
right.
What's pressure? But they are certainly built, and I will say, do I believe that the delta, the divide between them and the Knicks is what you saw last night? No, I don't. Because, you know, I had doubt. Any team that's newly built, especially one that was, and I hadn't really even thought of this aspect, the Karl-Anthony Towns trade happened like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, that was
like,
very recent.
Very
yes,
late.
Absolutely.
So Tibbs putting that together, them figuring out what they need to do, closing out defense, spreading the floor, different things that they're going to figure out, I think, and be a different team next time you play them. But just from a Celtics perspective, the one thing I told you I had a question about was Jason Tatum's shot. Well, after one game, I can't really have a question about Jason Tatum's shot.
Yeah, there was a point in the second half where I forget what this guy's name was on the Knicks. I thought it was Precious Achiuwa at first because we were, again, very high up in the stands.
Were you squinting?
Up in the rafters. I had my binoculars out trying to see who these guys were. I forget what this. He was the backup big man. He came in and didn't do much, but there was one time where Tatum got the ball at the three-point line. He was wide open. And he waited for this guy to come out and defend him. And he comes out and defends him. He does one jab step and then shoots it to three right in his face. And I was just like, that was kind of mean.
Toying with him.
You could have just taken the open three there, Jason. But he's like, nah. Sims, that's who it was. Jay Sims. Jericho Sims. That was the guy. And he was, I mean, everybody, the whole team. The whole team was at the mercy of Missoula ball. And that's really what this was about. It was about 3-and-D. And that first quarter, they put up 43 points, just raining threes from everywhere. The Knicks did kind of hang with them for the next two quarters, but it didn't matter. Once you get off to a big start like that, unless you start to slow down, and they had another 40-point quarter, 39-point quarter, I think, in the third, and even though the Knicks were kind of scoring with them, and they were, I mean, Brunson was making his shots, and he was getting to the points and sort of able to get his offense going, but there was nothing they can do. The Celtics are basically unguardable. Like, they're an unguardable team sometimes, and that's a good Knicks defense. I think they have some very quality defensive play. Anunoby, Bridges, I think Towns is a good wing defender for a big guy. Like, they have guys who can do that sort of stuff. Towns was getting hunted, by the way. It seemed like everybody was scoring on him when he was out there. But, you know, I mean, listen, this is what happens when you go up against the Celtics. And as you said, Andy, you're not a team that is gelled all the way yet. Like, you're going to need to be a team that's very comfortable with itself and with each other. And you're going to have depth. You're going to have to be able to switch. You're going to have to defend the three-point line. You're also going to have to go one-on-one with these guys who are all very capable of breaking you off the dribble and finishing at the rim. It's very hard to defend this team.
And then the next level of it is, oh, Porzingis will be coming at some
right.
point. Like, the most uniquely versatile aspect of their offense isn't even a part of the offense right now. And you look down, like, so the Knicks actually shot better, 55%. Now, some of this was swayed by the late shooting woes of the
right.
guys trying to launch up the record setter.
Which was hilarious.
It really was.
It was very funny.
It almost made me relate to them. Like, you know how you crack under pressure, you
right.
flap your gums or something, and somebody puts you on the spot, and then you gag?
Mm-hmm.
They gagged going for
That's
the
That's never
record.
Happened to me, but I know what you're talking
it
about.
It happens to most people. Sorry, you're above that in your fancy
of
new
course.
Shirt.
Yes.
Where's mine?
That you're not going to believe this?
Now, you're right. I'm not going to because I don't have a shirt on.
There weren't a lot of them just sort of sitting around. Like, people got to their seats and took their shirts, so I didn't really have a chance
to
get any extra ones.
Kind of
I also didn't want to start a fight, you know, with somebody. Hey, where's my shirt? Oh,
That'd be good for the promotion of the show.
Do you think
if
so?
If there were videos of you fighting at
me
the Celtics game.
Me getting my ass kicked at the Celtics game.
Well, you can win the fight. I didn't say you have to
I
lose.
Suppose I could, but I don't know. I mean, listen.
Then you're in jail. You're probably not here today.
That's true.
If you
also,
lose the fight, you're
You
okay.
never want to get into a fight when you're way up in the balcony. Because you take a tumble and all of a sudden you're on the news. Like, I don't need that.
Or dead.
Right, that's what I mean. Like,
yeah.
You
get that little glass thing at the end of the walkway that's supposed to stop you. But if I'm, like, really going, I don't think that little piece of plexiglass
Oh, yeah,
is
if I'm
actually
flipping and tumbling like O.J. Simpson
right.
in the
I'm landing
the
in the lower
gun.
Level.
Yeah, when he goes flying down in the wheelchair and then flies onto the
Crowd
field like that.
Crowd surfing
that's,
in Loge.
That's the thing. If you're way up there, I'm all for fighting in the Loge. Or fighting down
I don't
a court
think we
side
need to advocate
like
for
that.
Fighting. I was just joking.
I'm not saying other people have to. I'm just saying that's okay. You just don't want to do it when you're way up in the balcony.
Yeah.
And that's where I was last
yeah.
night.
I don't even like, honestly, I don't even like walking up there. No, I literally, when I have to anywhere, Gillette.
I was definitely winded a couple of times coming back and forth.
I get my, because I'm afraid of heights.
Yeah.
I get my ass in the seat and I stay in the seat. Like, I'm not jumping around. I'm not high-fiving. I'm not moving around because they are scary high and scary steep.
Mm.
But anyway, it's not about me. It's about the Celtics kicking ass, taking names, and maybe going 82-0? Is that an opportunity?
Sure.
It's a possibility right now.
I have no reason to say it isn't.
Do you think either of the two things that I'm advocating for are ridiculous? Undefeated
think,
at home or 74 wins?
Either one of those two things, though. 82-0 is a little
oh,
much.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
Those two things, I think, are both
41-0 at home. Is
on the table,
play.
Absolutely.
They only lost four times last year.
Yep.
So you only got to shave off four. I don't even know what those were. Do you remember the four losses right off the
I do not. I think one of them was the Nuggets. It had to have been, right? Because they lost twice
okay.
to the Nuggets.
Yep.
So
Nuggets.
One of them had to be that. I don't know what the other ones were. I couldn't tell you. I have no idea. But I don't remember them. They weren't memorable.
No Dubs jackwagon. It's not like 0-17 when I say 82-0. Because then using that logic, they'll lose their very next game and they'll be 1-1.
Right, yeah. They would have had to have lost this past game for that to
case. I don't know if I had said it yet. So now, once I've said it, they will lose their next game
now
and go 1-1.
Spoken into existence. There
yep.
we are. What'd you think of the Joe Mazzulla game plan? And this is going to be what you see all year. I mean, listen, if you thought this is all opening night and the banner's up, they're just going to shoot a ton of three. This is the way it's going to be every single night.
Oh, yeah.
This is what you're going to see night in and night out. They are going to try and run the score up. They're going to not lighten up when they put the bench in. Like, it's still going to be a barrage. I mean, that's really the best way. That you're going to get bombarded with three-pointers.
Yep.
And I thought the Knicks were going to be a team that could, at the very least, put a hand in someone's face. And sometimes they did. But there were a lot of open shots.
Oh, a ton of open shots. And that's where I think they will improve with Tibbs' defense and when they figure out what the hell they're doing and get more comfortable with each other. But, no, this team is going to launch. And the one time they're going to lose is they're going to have that one game when they shoot, like, 17%
right.
or something. And I'm not totally sold they'll lose, depending on who the opponent is.
True.
Because I do think they are more versatile than people give them credit for, just based on the three-point numbers. But it was funny. There was a comment last night by, I think, Barkley on the post-game show when they were talking about the record. Might have even been at halftime.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, like, surprised that the record was so old for threes, and it was, like, 2020 or 2021. And that's the way it feels, because I feel like the Celtics are leading the charge of taking three-pointers to the next level. It's like, what is a realistic number? How many can you actually shoot in a game? They had 32 at halftime? Something like that?
Yeah.
30-something at halftime?
I'll find that for you, but yeah, it was an ass load.
The numbers are ridiculous, and then with a team like them that is capable of getting hot and capable of almost anybody on the floor doing it, I don't think this is going to be the last time they make a run at this record. I think this record is going to be in play for them, and this probably is the most likely record that they will achieve this year, is the three-point record.
I think there's a 95% chance that they break this record.
Maybe multiple times.
They'll yeah.
probably break their own record.
Yeah, right.
Like, you know,
like Jesse Owens, where he
yeah.
just keeps breaking
yeah,
his own
you get
record.
Hot and you break yours, and a new PR every time you go out there, and you set a world record five times in a year. They're going to get this record and probably break it multiple times.
They shot 32 threes in the first half. They made 17 of them. They were 53% from three at the half. As I said, the starters finished 63%, the five of them combined, 63% from three-point range. The point where I knew the game was over was when Brown stripped Brunson and took it back the other way and then dunked it.
Oh, yeah.
And that was early, I think, in the second quarter,
yep.
I want to say. And it was just Brunson, who's a very good player, by the way, and I thought played a pretty good game, all things considered. You know, he's not a great defender, but he was out there doing his best, trying to keep that team in it and trying to keep pace with the Celtics in their onslaught. He spins right into that steal, and Brown was down the court so fast, no one around him. I was watching that going, okay, this is over. Now it's just, let's see how many threes we can hit. Let's see how many guys we can get into the game. That type of stuff. They could have had a running clock from there on out.
But they didn't fade.
Like, this was it. They definitely didn't.
They came out of halftime, and Tibbs had to call a timeout relatively quickly. So it's not like they, you know, human nature set in the locker room or anything. And that's, I'm starting to believe this team has that. And whether that's Mazzulla, because remember we always questioned it.
Right.
Does Tatum have the alpha? Does he have that killer instinct? He's not Kobe. He doesn't want to kill people. It's starting to feel like Tatum has joined the crew that might have that instinct. That Mazzulla, I'll give him credit for leading the way. I think Jaylen Brown probably has that. Some of the other guys. This doesn't seem like a team that is going to start feeling itself very often. If at all. Like, I think they are, we talked about it yesterday, that Tom Brady, when he wanted to kill everybody in 2007, feels like this team wants to kill everybody in 2024. And that's how you end up with scoring records, wins records, home court records, especially in the environment at the Garden.
Yeah.
You know you're going to get that great environment every night.
Yeah, definitely. And it was. It was a great environment. The crowd was very, very loud, very lively, and stayed engaged throughout the entire game, even to the end with all the missed threes and everything. Everybody was hanging on the edge of all of those. And it was fun. I mean, listen, it's opening night. There's a banner getting raised. I don't know if you're going to get that energy every single night, but I have a feeling you're going to have people charged up to go to these games and to watch this team this year. There's no question about it.
The energy will fuel itself.
Yes.
Like, remember when those scooters were blowing up that one Christmas that everybody bought because the batteries explode and they, like, create their own
oxygen?
Oh,
the hoverboard things? Yeah, I remember those.
That's how this crowd, I think, will be. If you get to, let's just, you know, 8-0, 9-0, 10-0 at home or whatever, I think it will fuel itself because people will start to have the expectations, because that's how those 07 Patriots were.
Right.
When you had that Jets game where you blew them out and it was the Randy Moss experience, and everybody's like, whoa, this team is legit special. This is what Randy Moss promised. And I think these fans will start to believe it, and they'll start to, like, monitor those things. They'll be aware of how many threes have been made and how many have been taken and points and rec. And I think that will fuel the energy, because you're right. You can't have opening night energy every night. But if you feel like you're part of something special every night, that fuels your energy.
Yeah, 100%. You mentioned Joe Mazzulla and the way that you sort of judge these type of things from the head coach. I got to give the head coach credit right here. This is a team that had a pretty short offseason, not just because they played in the finals, but also because half the team was on the Olympics. You know, heading out to Fran, not Jaylen Brown, but most of the other guy. You got three other guys on the Olympic team. And guys rehabbing from injuries, guys not ready to go in Porzingis' case. And they looked ready to go to me. They looked in shape. They looked conditioned. They looked like they had been working on their passing and movement and all that stuff. Like, it was a tour de force last night, I'd say, all the way around. Everybody has something to be proud of, except for Peyton Pritchard shooting those threes at the end of the game. Other than that, everybody's got to look at that and be like, yeah, we're pretty good. We're going to run roughshod over this league this year, and they got to be feeling good about repeating, too. I mean, it was all in all a clinic, I'd say, by your Boston Celtics on opening night. And the exact opposite, really, of what I think the Knicks were hoping for. Like, the Knicks, if you're a Knicks fan, you have this great offseason, and you think, hey, we finally put a team, like the Bruins, right? Yeah, the Bruins, we finally put a team together.
Yep.
Going to go out there and compete with those Florida Panthers, and the Panthers lit you up, and not even close to what the Celtics did to the Knicks last night. Yeah. I mean, the Celtics humiliated the Knicks
last
night.
And that's where it'll be on the coaching and the leadership of that team to, you know, it's only one game. Like, one of our texters wanted to remind you, love the overreaction after one game.
Good.
6-3-0.
Enjoy it.
Yeah,
because that's what's happening.
So at least he's keeping it balanced, right? You balance out the Bruins. So it's one game.
Yes.
And it's one day later. So you have only one game to react to.
You have to do this. This is the point of this is the point of a daily talk show. And I'm not here to remind everybody about that, but I am here to say this. I will overreact on a game-by-game basis. That's going to happen. That happens to me. I can't help it.
But
it's just the way I'm wired. It's going to, especially the first game.
It's not just you, and it's not the talk show thing.
Right.
You know, have you ever heard of water cooler talk? And I know people work from home more, and there's less water cooler talk and all that, but
what's this water cooler you speak
Buddy's
of?
Still, it's probably more text chains now.
Yes.
People are texting each other like, holy crap, are you watching this? Holy crap, this team could go undefeated. Holy crap, at home. Like, people still react. That's part of being a fan.
Absolutely.
And don't you get ahead of yourself? Joe Mazzulla can worry about people not getting ahead of themselves. As a fan, a fanatic, right? The longer version of the word, fanatic, isn't that what you want to do? Believe you have the best damn team on the planet? Wonder how great they can be and what crazy things you've never seen before they can accomplish this year? Like, that's part of the joy of it. And especially right now, because it only comes along not very often. It's what we talked about yesterday. There's very few times when you can see a dynasty coming together before
right.
your eyes where you can actually acknowledge it in the moment. Seems like most of them kind of like catch off guard, and then retroactively you look back and say, I probably should have seen that. Chiefs are also one of those. We'll get into that later.
Sure. We will get into that because there is a big, big story here with the Kansas City Chiefs that we will ask our guest Adam Schefter about at 3:45. Also today is the debut of Brian Scalabrine, the White Mamba, joining us here on WEEI Afternoons in its current iteration. We'll talk with him at 4 o'clock, a little guest corner for you there at 3:45 into the 4 o'clock hour. But right now, here's Jackson Burns to tell you what's trending. And when we come back, who's going to challenge the Celtics team? Anybody? We'll discuss right after this. Charles Barkley and the TNT crew after the game. And he's right. Anybody wants to challenge the Celtics, they will have to raise their game. The Knicks did not do that last night. Aside from, aside from Brunson, no one on offense was particularly impressive. It is, again, a new team. It's a team that's going to have to gel and get used to each other and all of that. These aren't a bunch of veterans all getting together. Karl Anthony Towns is in his 20s. Bridges in his 20s. I think that you're sort of looking at a team that's going to take a little while to come together. Bridges had an okay game, I guess. He shot okay, but missed a bunch of threes. Ananobi had a bad game shooting. Brunson was fine. Towns was kind of invisible, I thought, after the first 24 minutes. They kind of pulled him out, and you didn't see much of him after that. And really, nobody else stepped up. And I think that for a Knicks team that was so active in the offseason, so active, trades, extensions, free agent signings, all of that, it was a pretty disappointing debut for them, even though they put up 109 points, which is certainly respectable. I mean, that's not a bad total or anything like that. But you're going to have to do a lot more than that to beat the Celtics, as Barkley said. And I think that was a warning shot across the bow. to the rest of the league, you know, because a lot of teams looked at the Knicks and thought, okay, you know, that team may have passed Milwaukee and Cleveland and Philly and these other teams here that are all trying to knock off the Celtics too. This may be their number one contender, and they didn't look like they were contending very much last night.
Yeah, no, the Celtics sent a message. Now, I think it's a tough spot, unfair spot for the Knicks a little bit to be a team that comes together so late in the process, and then the energy and emotion of opening night. We talked about it. It was at least three or four in a row. The banner-raising team wins the game.
Yep.
So I don't – if I'm the Knicks, I don't look at this like, oh, my God, what have we done? Like, this was a disastrous offseason, disastrous pairing of players together. No, I look at it as we were in a tough spot. Were we ready? Absolutely not. And they sent a message, and this is more about what the Celtics are, which we knew they were. We knew, and Barkley's right, like, you're going to have to do something pretty impressive most nights to beat the Celtics, which is why it's such a foregone conclusion or whatever that when you get to the playoffs, that's not enough. It's not about doing enough on one-off
right.
night. It's about, can I win four games against them in a seven-game series? And to expect them to play so poorly, barring injuries, I've now accepted it's just injuries. I've removed all the others. You know, the, oh, maybe Tatum and Brown won't get along again, or maybe
the sale of the team or something could be a problem.
No, like, it's just injuries. If they're healthy, there is no reason they should not win the NBA title. Like,
yeah.
I don't have anything. I got nothing. And I know that's the most homerific NBC Sports Boston Green Teamer take you can have, but sometimes it's just true, right?
Yeah.
Like, if everybody's saying it, who isn't saying it? I guess, was it Perk?
Perk.
Nobody's afraid of him.
Perk's the only one. Perk said that the Knicks had the best starting five. Do we have that, by the way, Jackson? Do we have Perk talking about who the best starting five in the East, or maybe he said in the NBA is, because that was right after the Knicks trade. That was after the Knicks had traded for Towns and brought these other guys in. And a lot of people were riding that wave. A lot of people thought, ooh, this is big. This is big for New York. The Celtics are going to be a team with a big target on their back. And now here come the new-look New York Knicks. And they weren't particularly scary. I don't know. I think that they will get better. I think that they will be a good team in the Eastern Conference. They'll give the rest of the teams in the East, I think, good games. But they weren't ready. They weren't ready to face the Celtics team, and that was clear last night.
And they, again, they will definitely get better. Like, this is not, I'm sure they took it on the chin a little bit, and Tibbs, you know, like I mentioned that timeout in the second half early on. He looked really frustrated there. It was almost like, wait, we're not even going to do anything better in the second half. We're going to continue to be the piñata or the toy to the Celtics here on their opening night. But they were built to beat the Celtics.
Right.
And they didn't beat the Celtics. They didn't even compete with them. They didn't hang with them for one game on one night in a tough spot. So I'm sure there's some frustration there among Knicks fans and certainly within that locker room.
Yeah, there should be. And for Celtics fans and for that team, they picked up literally right where they left off. That
yep.
looked exactly like how they were winning games before. It was the same kind of just like Terminator mentality where you don't even think about it. You're just hucking up threes, no conscience. You're beating teams. You're blowing them out. You're putting your backups in. They're hitting three. Everybody's sort of just shaking their ass in the opponent's face. Here's Perk from earlier after that, the Knicks flurry of moves that put that roster out there.
Well, I would even go on record right now and saying that this New York team, their starting five is the best starting five in the NBA on paper. Now, they certainly have to go out and they have to go out and play, right? We start training camp right now, and when you look at certainly Carl at the five and then OG at the four and Anobi, health is going to play a big role. My only concern, Perk, is their depth. And I know losing Dante DiVincenzo hurts as far as who comes off the bench for this New York team, but that starting five, including the Boston Celtics, is as good as any starting five in the NBA right now.
Okay, so
well, I got an assist from our guy Brian in the back, which I very much appreciate, but I don't appreciate that wasn't that the right
clip. No, Perk was in the clip, but that was Bobby Marks,
yes.
And I remember when he said that now. And yes, Perk was happy to hear that.
Yes,
finally, someone else who can be like, yeah, all right, hey, my buddy, we don't like the Celtics. We're going to rip the Celtics. Like, that's pretty much his thing at this point. And it's not going to be – listen – it's a great time to be a green teamer. Let me put it to you that way. Stool Greeny over there at Barstool.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Celtics honks out there who are been predicting this sort of thing for years now. And now here it is. I mean, this is what a lot of people expected or hoped was going to be the culmination of the Brown and Tatum era, is a team like this. A team that was able to win like this and blow teams out like this and steamroll over everybody on their way to the championship, into the next season, etc. That's partially what these expectations were and why when they kept coming up short, it was so disappointing knowing that they were capable of this kind of play. Now, I don't know that that team, that old Malcolm Brogdon, Marcus Smart team, right? Like, you know, those early teams, I'm not necessarily sure. Jay Crowder, I don't think they were capable of doing what this team's doing, to be sure. But you knew that those two together were a special pairing. You knew that there was something there, two special players. Could they play together was the big question. You surround them with enough people that are able to be both contributors, productive players, and role players at the same time. Guys like White and Holiday, those guys are role players on this team, but they're very important role players, and they could be all-stars on their own. So, you know, and they have been all-stars. So that's a pretty special mix of players and a tough thing to compete with.
Absolutely. You're the hoop head on the show.
Absolutely.
More of a hoop head than
100%.
I am. So how do you argue that the Knicks have the better starting five when the Boston Celtics have three players that were on the Olympic basketball team,
mm-hmm.
and one who's better than a couple of them that should have been on the Olympic team? It was scandalous. So you have four players that are on the, how many, 13? How many were on that team? I don't think it was 15. Even.
I forget. Yeah,
I think it was less than 15. I think it was like 13 or 14. Like, so four of the Team USA players, and I'm not saying that means the be-all, end-all. It's like an all-star team, not necessarily all. But how do you make that argument? And then mix in Porzingis, who when healthy is one of the most unique players in the NBA. Unicorn. I keep going back to it. He was Wembanyama before Wembanyama got here.
Yeah.
Like, that was what he was supposed to be when he was with the Knicks, that trajectory he was supposed to be on. I just think the Celtics are that good. It's okay to acknowledge it. You know what's also okay to do? Root against them. For
right.
the rest of the world, they are. It's okay to have them be Mike Tyson or the Yankees or whichever team you want to, the Patriots for mm-hmm. that run.
Canadians, yeah.
It's okay for them to be on top of the world and give the measuring stick. And that's the reality. I think that makes sports better for both sides. The bullying side, that is Boston right now. That mm-hmm. is us. I know people will hate it because they feel like too often in the last 20 years on some court or field somewhere, we were on top of that mountain.
Wah.
But, right, and it's fun. And it's also fun for them to want to make us not reach where we're supposed to be. Make
exactly.
sure we do underachieve. Make sure we don't get records and more titles and back-to-back.
And again, there's something to be said for the parity that we've had over the last 5 years in the NBA with different champions each year.
Right.
That's not an inherently bad thing. But I do think it's better when there's
absolutely
big bad to knock off.
The Warriors, the Bulls.
Yes, absolutely.
Like,
and when it just happens to be the team that you cover and you followed all your life, it's even better. But yes, that's 100%, I think, the more favorable thing than a new champion every year. Who the hell wants that?
No.
You know, that's lame. And
that's
I know
fun.
Celtics just won one recently, but yeah, you want to see dynasties. People are just naturally drawn to that and the drama that surrounds it and the idea of knocking off the big bad team. I mean, that's
right.
It's
the
a
measure,
huge part of sports.
It also makes what it validates what you achieve.
Right.
Whoever you are, that's what we were talking about. For the Celtics to be an all-time dynasty, for them to be an all-time great team, obviously numbers will put them there, however
right.
many games you win, go undefeated at home, break a wins record, whatever that. But if you go through a team that either looks like an elite team or maybe even ends up being an elite team.
Sure.
Right? Like, you could get
the Giants beating the Patriots in 07, or, you know, I mean,
right.
they validated the hell out of all those guys.
But even more so, like, Brady beating Mahomes at the end of his
that
run
too, sure.
validated just how great he was, because now Mahomes said, whew, thank God Brady's gone. Now
right.
I can be the best damn team. Maybe OKC is that team. Maybe they wait in the – remember when the Celtics, the whole talk was wait till LeBron's out of the East and then the Celtics will
yes.
take over?
Right.
Maybe OKC is the team that loses a couple times to the Celtics. Yes, I'm giving them multiple titles in a dynasty here. And then OKC takes over when new ownership says, we can't keep this. We
right.
got to break this up. Right? Like, but if OKC then goes on to win two or three in a row, that will help validate the prior success. You know what I mean? Like that measuring stick idea.
Yeah, 100%. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Let's go to your phone calls. Kelvin is in Haverhill. Go ahead, Kelvin.
Yeah, I'm curious. I'd like to know if I was the only person that win yesterday. Because all the shooting, and they missed every shooting.
at the end, when they were trying
yeah.
to get the record, you were furious
yeah,
by that.
I
thought, Kelvin, I'll tell you, I thought that was pretty funny. I thought that was a pretty funny end to that game. I was laughing pretty hard.
And another thing, the Celtics need to look. They don't have a bench. Well, all the shooting, they see they don't have no bench. They need to fix that.
I think they don't need to really fix much.
Yeah.
The bench, I think, is okay. Listen, I mean, they had the bench coming in. They emptied the bench at the end of the game, right, with Jordan Walsh and, you know, Quaida and who else was out there? Xavier Tillman. Xavier Tillman got some minutes before then, I guess. It was really just Walsh and Quaida at the end who got the garbage time
yep.
minutes in the very, very end. But Hauser was good. Cornett was pretty good, grabbed some rebounds out there. He wasn't out there very long. Pritchard had a bad game shooting, but I expect Pritchard to have a very good year. I know you do. You think he's going to be six man of the year. That's not, I think, what you're going to be getting on a nightly basis from Peyton Pritchard. I think he's going to go out there and be a very productive guy off this bench. And at some point, also, when Porzingis comes back, Horford's going to be part of that bench. Right. So their bench is fine. I think they have nothing. They have really nothing to worry about with their bench.
Yeah, no, I don't think depth, if they stay healthy, again, because we are penciling in Porzingis and assuming Horford sticks around, the two biggest question marks health-wise. And if both of those guys are a concern, then yes, that zaps into your depth. But I don't think their bench should be measured based on the poor shooting in the final seconds trying to hock it up to get a record.
Jason Tatum last night was 14 of 18 from the field, 8 of 11 from 3 with 4 rebounds and 10 assists.
Mm.
He was magnificent last night. Like,
that's a good word.
He was really, like, just in control of everything. I don't often subscribe to the whole revenge tour stuff, but if that was the beginning of the revenge tour for Jason Tatum, I'm in. This is going to be a fun season. It's going to be fun watching him go out there and hopefully develop that killer instinct, because he had it last night. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Quick break. When we return, we'll go over the ceremony, the raising of the banner, the bringing out of the old players, Bob Cousy out there chucking peace signs in the wheelchair, and everything else that went into the pregame ceremony, and part of it which didn't even get caught on TV because TNT just couldn't deal with it. Anyway, that's next.
Pretty good banner raising, Andy Hart. Pretty good banner raising.
That was good right there. You know, I'm not even a Tatum honk, and when I heard that, the honk of Andy came out right there.
Started honking a little.
Yeah, a little bit. Like, and I think we may have edited that. I think he even gave it a dramatic pause.
There was a pause. Yes, there was a pause.
He kind of like, I can say to the best fans in the world, let's do it again.
Yeah.
Like, there was a sweet delivery. And it's, those are fun. But, again, one of the texters says, Tatum will be 2 of 11 from 3 next game.
Yeah, probably. I mean, who knows?
He could be.
Yeah,
and sure, they could lose to Washington and be 1-1 and, like,
they're not going to lose to Washington.
I don't think so either, but, you know, reality could
set
in.
Kyle Kuzma goes crazy, the dunks on him.
But for that night, with the history and the way they kind of blended history from all the eras and everything they did. Now, I wasn't actually home yet, so I didn't miss the bitching about the banner ceremony on TNT.
I'm glad. I mean, that would have upset me if they
didn't. Did they screw up or did they intentionally not?
They cut to commercial is what I heard. People said that they were watching it, and as soon as they brought the banner up, it started coming up out of that little box, you know, with the smoke coming out. It was cool, by the way, with the steam coming out of the box. And they had it out. And then they stopped, and I remember, like, they were pulling it, and then, Paliuka was on one of the strings, and I think Wick was on the other one. They were starting to pull it, and then they stopped, and it just sort of hung there, like, all the way up. And then they slowly started pulling it all the way, rest of the way up there. And I think what it sounded like, what people told me anyway, is that they cut the commercial while it was just sort of suspended there before it went all the way up into the rafters, which, I don't know. I mean, listen, I'm not going to tell TNT how to run their broadcast. It's a very, very popular broadcast, but come on, guys. Like, you only raise the banner once.
Once.
You know?
Once a year, and it's, what, a minute extra you need? A minute and a half? Can't you find a way to squeeze those commercials in or just kind of reconfigure what was going on? Yeah, that's a little bit lame, especially since it's the broadcast.
Right.
It's not even one of those where you could also be watching on NBC Sports Boston and get a different view or something like that. You know what fans are tuning in for. Mm-hmm. Celtics fans all over the country. Yeah, that was lame. I did enjoy making the rounds. It's another thing I missed. Speaking of our guy, Tom Giles from NBC Sports Boston, on his program, did you see mm-hmm. the graphic that was making the rounds where banner 18, Celtics 18, Lakers 17, but a little yellow, and then you read down below, includes Walt Disney World title. Basically devaluing, saying it's not really 17, it's really 18-16 at this point. That mm-hmm. one doesn't count, which I like. That's good homerific broadcasting.
Yeah, I'd say so. That's good stuff there. I missed that. I didn't see it, but that sounds good, and that sounds indicative of the NBC Sports Boston experience when it comes
Absolutely.
To that. They're very petty with their graphics, and that's one of the
you
many things
be.
I love about them.
Yes.
Yeah. The rings, nice rings.
Yeah, I don't love
pretty
the
pretty nice
top.
Looking ring. They they're like little Lego rings, but still, I mean, they were humongous, and they were all, you could see even from where I was sitting, you could see they were big rings.
Yeah, and they're nice. They're awesome. I do love that, you know, in a weird way, you know, some of the players and coaches criticize them. Like Joe Mazzulla was like too big, never wear it. And Al Horford told a story of apparently he had a dislocated finger when they measured for it. So he was all swollen. So now he has a ring that doesn't fit because his finger is back to normal size. But they're cool rings. I like simple rings. You can go as big as you want. I don't care how big. But you remove the face of it. Also, I wonder, I have this whole theory about anything in my life that is modular or moves. Eventually, it doesn't work right anymore. Like, it doesn't clasp as tight.
Right.
And you could be, if you open that a million times on the millionth and first, you're walking down the street, and all of a sudden you look down and the top's missing from your freaking world championship ring. I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
I don't think people are really walking down the street with those things on, but, you know,
if you wear them, you're walking.
Yeah, it's true.
Tully Banta Kane left his in a bathroom in the Providence Place Mall.
It's true.
So it can happen.
It can happen. What do you think was the story there? You know? Like, why did he have his Super Bowl ring at the mall in the first place?
I don't know. One theory I'll throw out there, maybe there's a card shop in there where he was doing like a signing or
Makes sense, a meet and greet, or even just a
business deal with the guy. Maybe something like that.
Maybe he just met Putin, you know, and he tried to get the ring and he grabbed it on a date.
Something like that, yeah.
If I was trying to score, I'd probably wear my Super Bowl ring or my world title ring, right?
Yeah.
That might help you out, especially if you're, no disrespect to him, but you're Tully Banta Kane. You're not Tom Brady or Gronk.
Right.
Kind of that second tier player. You want to make sure they really know that you were on the field and you were a champion.
Yeah, Jordan Walsh. Jordan Walsh goes out, you know.
Yeah, he's wearing the hell out of that thing.
He's got that thing on. Sure. Hey, wow, look, it pops off, too. See?
Yeah, you want to see inside my ring? You know what I'm saying?
Gross. What'd you think about the players, about the ex-players they had? Cousy was there representing the old guard. Maxwell from the 80s. Nobody really from the 70s. I thought maybe they'd bring out Cowens or something like that.
Yeah.
I used to go to Dave Cowens basketball camp when I was a kid, so I figured he's still around here somewhere. I don't know where he's living now, but he's in his 70s, and
it's like 40 years ago. You don't think he might have moved in the last 40 years?
I have no idea. I don't know where he lives. I don't know what his deal is. But you'd think, you know, for a guy who was an integral part of those championships in the 70s, that he would be around or that he'd want to pop back in for something like that. I don't know. I do know he's in his 70s again, so who knows what that's even like for him. But the only real connection between the 60s to the 80s was, or really the only connection from the 60s to 2007 and 2008 was Maxwell.
Max.
Because after that, it was nobody really. I mean, who are you going to bring in? Dino Raja from the 90s? There's not much there. Antoine Walker,
Twan?
I guess. Somebody could have brought him in, but he never won anything. Paul Pierce, Ray Allen, Kevin Garnett. Nice to see Ray Allen back with those guys. Wasn't expecting that to ever be a thing again. And he was out there and got a big, big reaction. I thought I'd like that. And I was part of the chorus of, hey, Ray Allen's a traitor and he went to the Heat and blah, 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 blah. I like seeing him there. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, I was a little surprised when I heard Ray Allen. And then the other thing that maybe only I thought of. So as they do the ring by ring, you know, ownership, coaches, the whole thing, and then they get into players, and no disrespect, but you go from least important to most important.
Right.
I was wondering, who's going to get the final ring? Is it Tatum, because he's Jason Tatum, and he's the be-all, end-all, gods-all player of the Boston Celtics, or is it going to be your finals MVP in Eastern Conference front? Now, it ended up being Tatum, and I don't think Brown had an issue with that, but do you think that was even a discussion of who goes last?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think it was going to be Tatum no matter what.
Yeah. Why would you give it to the guy who actually won the title?
Because he's not the best player on the team.
Yeah, it's not what that trophy said for the series.
For the series, sure, but overall player on
the
team.
Why were you there at this night putting a banner up? Which series? Oh, that series, the one which he was the best player.
Sure. Hey, take it up with the Celtics. Do you think they even talked about it?
Probably not.
Anyone said, hey, who goes last?
No.
Because he's the last one who gets announced in starting lineups. He's considered the best player on the team. It's just the way it is. I mean, you know, you'd be mad about it if you want, but that's it. You made it
to the finals and won the finals because of one guy being considered the best player.
Oh, yeah, they definitely wouldn't have won without Jaylen Brown. They couldn't have beat the Dallas Mavericks or the Pacers or
any of
those teams.
I didn't say wouldn't have won, but
they would have gotten real beat up on with those guys.
Most valuable player. Words have meanings. Trophies have meanings.
They do.
Okay.
Doesn't mean they would have lost without him, is what I'm saying. 617-779-7937. Let's take a couple Celtics calls here before we switch gears and go Patriots. Jerry's in the car. Go ahead, Jerry.
Yeah, hey, guys. It sounds like you weren't watching on TV, but you were there live or something. But that band was a quarter of the way out of the box, and boom, they switched to commercial.
Okay.
I have two 24-year-old boys at home. One was down in the basement, one was upstairs. We met in the middle of the house. Say, what the hell was that? It was the craziest stupidest thing that we've ever seen in our lives. I mean, it's like going all the way to the Super Bowl. We're about to say the trophy, ladies and gentlemen. They go to commercial, and they come back, and it's over. It was just absurd.
Yeah, that sucks. I'm sorry to hear that, Jerry. That is very uncool. And if you want, we got your number. I can text you the video I took drunk up in the balcony of the banner going up.
Is it a good video, at
least? It's not. It's very shaky. It's a very shaky video. I went back and looked at all of them. I tried to get, because where we are, you know, you could see the Jumbotron better than you can see the little ants on the ground. So I tried to get that all in one picture, you know, and when I was shooting the video of it, and also trying to watch without really looking, because I didn't want to be looking through the phone and experiencing it all that way, but
live
I did want to record it. And it was a very, very poor video that I took. Even with these new iPhones where it's like, they keep it steady for you, even if you're, it still was very, very bad.
How drunk were you?
I just wasn't looking, you know? I wasn't looking at what I was taping.
I think the said it all.
Yeah, I mean, listen, come on. I have a two-year-old. I don't get out that much anymore.
No, the only reason I'm asking is we were on the air till 6, and the ceremony was at 7.
Yeah, ever heard of a power hour? It's a thing people do at Sullivan's Tap. And
well played.
Elsewhere. Tyler's in Salem. Hello, Tyler.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up?
Not much. I just wanted to talk about the game last night. It looked like they just picked up right where they left off game 5. And I got to say, I'm buying all the stock and shifting my chips back in the pot. They're going to win it again. And I'm going to see you guys down at Dillon's on Boylston again. We're going to party it up like it was last year again.
All right,
we're going to do it again.
Sounds good, Tyler. And I remember, you coming down there for the parade. That was cool. We had a good time at Dillon's last year. I'd imagine we'll be there again for another parade this year. I think that's very, very likely. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We're going to take a quick pause here on Celtics-related, NBA-related stuff because Jerod Mayo spoke today. And talk about a guy being under fire right now. Talk about a guy feeling the heat. Jerod Mayo, we'll get to his comments and what he had to say about all this stuff surrounding him and the potential hot seat that he's on right after this.